Big show midweek Wednesday, March the 18th on Connecticut Today regarding the latest on the coronavirus outbreak. We spoke with a Harvard-connected educator about the importance simply of hand washing. Also on tap, an official from the Barnum Festival in Bridgeport to tell us, unfortunately, all the Barnum Festival festivities are on hold because of the virus. We also talked to the president of the Greater Norwalk Chamber of Commerce. Right, washing your hands, right? How many hundreds of times have we heard about wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands? Well, our next guest actually spearheaded the United Nations Global Hand Washing Day. And she's been recognized as one of the top 10 entrepreneurs in the world for her role transforming public-private health partnerships. Now, she is talking to us from a great distance away. I believe she's in Kenya. This is Miriam Sibide. Miriam, it's Paul here in Bridgeport. Can you hear me? How are you?
Yes, hello. Hi, Paul. It's Miriam all the way from Kenya, indeed.
All right, Miriam, thanks for joining us. Tell my audience a little about yourself. And I was watching some of your TED Talks, by the way. They're fascinating. Why did you spearhead the Global Hand Washing Day? And I actually remember when that happened. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I did a doctorate in public health at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Hand washing with soap. And I remember everybody being a bit surprised that I would spend so many years of my time studying hand washing with soap. But I've done a Lancet review which had shown that hand washing with soap could reduce diarrheal disease by over 45% and respiratory infection by over.
When you see what's going on today with the coronavirus, not only here in the U.S., but worldwide, are you surprised by this or not? Or is this the kind of thing that when you were doing all your studying in this area, is this the kind of thing that you had always worried about?
No, to be honest, I never thought about a global pandemic like this. That's true. I mean, we had diseases that were killing, quite a lot. And I think, you know, if you watch my TED talk, you'll see the number of jumbo jets per day of children under five that were dying of that disease. And it really bothered me that we couldn't get hand washing at the top of the global health agenda. And, with coronavirus, hand washing also has shot all the way to the top of the global agenda. But I think it's an important reminder that it is probably the most cost-effective public health intervention and that we need to take it extremely seriously because today it is our best defense against coronavirus. And that's absolutely critical to remember in this day and age.
Our guest is Dr. Miriam Sidibe. She is a senior fellow at Harvard's Kennedy School for Business and Government. You can watch her TED Talks. They're all over the place on YouTube and all the TED Talk channels. She's speaking to us live from Kenya. Dr. Sidibe, what is the situation, say, in other parts of the world, maybe on the African continent or areas that that we may not be so tuned into regarding the coronavirus and diseases in general?
Obviously, coronavirus is taking over the public health agenda globally, and that's the same in Africa as it is we're following for the U.S. and Europe as well. And we are all, you know, pretty much scared and realizing that, you know, we need to put prevention and trying to stop the spread of the disease as fast as we can. And we are accelerating what we are doing in terms of getting hand washing into every home and creating a social distance as much as possible. And I think, you know, what we have learned in the past is that the rates of hand washing with soap at critical times, you know, before eating, after the toilet, are less than 20% globally. So only 1% out of five would wash their hands coming out of the toilet, for example. So the people, they know the benefits of hand washing. They just don't, they forget about it. They deprioritize hand washing with soap. And in order to change this behavior, we need to do more than, you know, instruct people to do it or do some hygiene education. We actually need to create an enabling environment, establish positive social norm, and make it a desirable thing to do. Because it needs to be embedded into society, and we need to celebrate hand washing with soap, and because that's what's gonna make it a lasting habit, not just right now when everybody is scared. And I think that's our job as public health workers to think about ways in which we can keep it dynamic messages. And I think that was the idea of the creation of Global Handwashing Day, is that you would get the private sector and the public sector together working and getting some of the creative thinking of the private sector into articulating what Global Handwashing Day could actually do. Because, you know, to be honest, who knows how to get people washing hands more than the soap manufacturers? You know, they've been working. Selling their soap and the soap brands for years. We got 1 billion people washing hands across the various continents, and through public-private partnerships, working with government. And I really think that today, you know, my call to action is very simple. I'm trying to get a global coalition of business networks to accelerate local action, to make sure that, one, you know, businesses are being extremely responsible when it comes to marketing during this time, and making sure that they are encouraging people to take any soap, not just their soap. That's the first line of defense. The second one is to join real coalitions at markets, at country level, where, you know, coalitions with government, coalitions with international organizations, be it the UN, the WHO, the UNICEF, the NGO, the civil society, to make sure that even in the most rural area, in villages, people are also being told to wash their hands and that we don't spread the virus. Because a case in a rural area in Africa is as scary as the cases that we have now, because that means the virus isn't going away. The third part, which I think is really important, is still to keep the business community and the businesses resilient in this age. Because if we have a failing economy, it's very, very hard. And I think in countries like Africa, for example, in countries where I am, in Kenya or in South Africa, I mean, the informal sector is so big, and we need to be so careful, because, you know, it will be very, very difficult to get out of and, you know, get people, to genuinely take steps around self-isolation and make sure that the virus is not being spread. So that's very dangerous as well.
And whether it is, Dr. Sidibe, washing hands or having people self-isolate, it is very difficult to have a person alter how they behave when a government is telling them, no, you must do this. But if they have not done that for years, that must be very difficult in some way, shape, or form to accomplish.
It is very difficult. It is exactly what I'm talking about. And I think some of the things that we've learned in terms of changing behavior when it comes to hand washing with soap, the first thing is you need to disrupt people's settings. You need to make hand washing easier by increasing the availability of hand washing facilities, soap, water. And we know that if you make the presence of hand washing facility at a place where people normally wouldn't have it, it would make people 60% more likely to wash their hands. So it's extremely important to put hand washing at visible places, disrupt people's entrance of their home, saying, look, you know, the moment you have to change habit, it has to be a new way of living. You need to keep the messages surprising when it comes to hand washing with soap. You know, show people the real power of the soap. I mean, if you think about soap, it's been around for before Christ, 2,800 before Christ. And people forget what a miracle product it actually is. You only need a sanitizer when you do not have access to soap and water. And people are all running towards sanitizers, but actually the first line of defense is as simple as a bar of soap. And in most countries, people often just wash their hands with water. But hand washing with soap will not result in truly clean hands without a bar of soap. And I think that's really important to remember and to remind that. And then finally, we just need to celebrate hand washing with soap. Normalize it. Understand that the social norms are changing. In many societies, it's extremely rude not to, you know, to greet people with hands, the elders, societies, and people don't believe that really a disease this important can be stopped by hand washing with soap. So I think there's a lot of work that we need to do here in terms of explaining to people why, you know, and how hands are real vectors for the transmission of this disease, without necessarily just creating panic, but really making sure that, you know, that public health intervention is at the top of the agenda, and that we're bringing the creative agencies, the advertising agencies, the soap manufacturers, the private sector on board to keep to keep it top of mind, because that's absolutely critical as we speak.
And Dr. Sidibe, finally, you have a book coming out, Brands on a Mission, How to Achieve Social Impact and Business Growth Through Purpose. Before we end today, tell us a little about that book and what's the what is the message?
So my book is on its way. It's called Brands on a Mission, How to Achieve Social Impact and Business Growth for Purpose. It's on pre-order on Amazon as well, and you could also go on my website and find ways to get a discounted copy as well. I think my idea was very simple: is how do you harness the power of the private sector to be able to impact health and hygiene? And what I've looked into, it's a summary of my 15 years in Unilever leading some of the brands with purpose, and saying, how do you give a framework that helps company bridge the divide between what they say and what they actually do so that they can really drive impact? And I actually think there is no moment where this is needed more than today, because we are running out of resources, and private sector needs to play its role in terms of making sure that they're spreading the right habits there, making their advertising extremely responsible, and that they're harnessing their power of influencing towards positive influencing. And I think that's what this book is about. It's case studies that are, basically depicting my journey over the last 15 years of the 1 billion, reaching 1 billion people with hand washing, but, many other different examples in that book as well. So I think for anybody who's trying to see what the role of capitalism should be in terms of redefining how we address health and hygiene, I think it's a very interesting perspective to explain and give hope that maybe together with a shared solidarity, we can put an alt to the spread of this disease.
Dr. Sabidi, thank you so much for talking to us live from Kenya. Doctor, thank you. We appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Thanks. Bye-bye. To talk about that, Charlie Carroll, he's the executive director of the Barnum Festival and a former ringmaster as well. Charlie, hi. Paul here at WICC and 95.9 The Fox. How are you?
Good, Paul. How are you doing?
Well, not too bad. We're all trying to get through this. And I guess, Charlie, like all the other issues that all these other area folks are facing, you folks at the Barnum Festival have kind of had to notch it back a little bit because of what we're going on with here.
Well, Paul, obviously, for everyone and to protect everybody, we did what most everybody else has done, too, is just put this thing on hold. This is our 72nd year, so we understand the value that it has to the community, but we also understand what's important at this time. We do deal with, school kids, both of high school and the grammar school level. So, right now we don't have access to those children. That's part of the royal family, so that couldn't happen. We do the roadshow, which hits 20 nursing homes. As you know, that can't happen. And any of the other events that we do, from a ringmaster's ball to the ringmaster's lunch, and all, draw large crowds of people, which that can't happen either. So it really wasn't a difficult decision for us, as much as like so many other people that have to cancel things, didn't want to do it. But, when things calm down and things get better, like I said, we've been here 72 years and we'll be here after this.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, Charlie. So you say you're on hold, you have to cancel some things, but you hope maybe to get some things revved back up maybe for the fall and the coming winter?
Oh, absolutely. We just don't know, obviously, how long. Nobody knows the answers to how long this is going to continue like this and how long the restrictions need to be put on. But because most of ours happens in the May, June timeframe that the public sees, we don't really see that, going to happen this year.
Talking about some of the events you said with the nursing homes and some of the things involving kids, for people out there, Charlie Carroll, who may not be fully familiar with some of these activities and maybe, listening down County way now, who are not familiar all that with the Barnum Festival, I'll talk a little about what you folks have done and unfortunately are going to have to put on hold now.
Well, each year we choose children from the third or fourth grade who depict Tom Thumb and Lavinia Warren, who were two of Barnum's favorite characters, or part of his show. So, you know, there's a competition for that. There's also, we do a king and queen and prince and princess with the high school kids. That all becomes part of what we call the royal family. And they would travel with our ringmaster, Frank Generini, to all of the events. And also, they put together with the royal family, but with a cast really of 35 or 40 people, go to each of these nursing homes or assisted living facilities and entertain. And we do like 20 or 21 of those on a 3-day tour. So those are some of the things that, you know, would be shut down to us this year. We wouldn't be able to do. So it's a big part of the festival. So without any of that happening, we don't see, you know, the rest of the festival happening. As far as the parade would come or the fireworks would come, who knows, you know, what yeah. June brings. We'll stay prepared in case the opportunity presents itself.
All right, please, yeah, stay prepared. Who knows? Maybe this thing, hopefully, knock on wood, cross our fingers, maybe it'll make a quick exit with the warm weather, but who knows? But, again, like you say, you guys and gals are not going away 70-plus years, and we expect to see you bigger and better in the coming edition. Charlie Carroll, executive director and a former ringmaster of the Barnum Festival. Charlie, thank you. We'll be in touch. Thanks.
Paul, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. All right. So, folks, unfortunately, another aspect of everyday life, another victim of everyday life, at least this year. Chamber of Commerce and I have been speaking to business leaders and chambers of commerce because, you know, alongside the medical professionals in the area, in Fairfield County, Greater Bridgeport and down into Southern Fairfield County, the medical professionals and really the folks watching local businesses, they are really on the front lines of this. Hey, Brian, Paul here. How are you today, sir?
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm doing as best I can. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm trying. Listen, I think we've been through tough times in this country and in this state. We'll get through it. But boy, I got to tell you, I've been speaking to people, Brian, like you at other chambers of commerce, other business groups. And Brian Griffin, these are trying times, are they not?
No question about it. But first, I would like to commend Connoisseur Media on the restructuring of the format and keeping people abreast across a number of stations. So I think that was a good move on your part.
Well, thank you. And you know, that's what radio's for, you know, Brian. And we have all this new whiz-bang technology. But, yeah. You know, the thing that Mr. Marconi invented several decades ago, it still works. It still works, my friend. Yes,
yes it does.
Yes, sir. So how you doing?
Yeah, we're again, doing the best we can. We're spending a lot of time right now keeping our members informed and acting as a resource for our members. They're have a lot of questions about resources available out there, what's going to happen. So right now we're just trying to keep everyone informed, provide them with resources, whether they're governmental or not, providing connections for them that they might need, certainly support. Especially, you know, restaurants right now are especially hurting. So we sent out a notice the other day to the community just to support the restaurants, whether they do that through takeout service or buying gift cards, whatever they can do to support the restaurant community as they're being hit very hard right now.
Yeah, Brian, you know, not every restaurant can easily do this, but driving home to where I live last night, I did notice that a lot of my favorite places in and about my area were still open. They had their open signs, and there were, you know, a pretty good amount of cars in the lot, and I could see people, you know, standing in line waiting for takeout. So you're right, we should emphasize that, you know, don't assume your local restaurant or diner is closed. Drive by, check it out, and if you see the lights on and there's an open sign, go in and get something to take out and bring home.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that goes for other businesses as well. You know, it's not just restaurants. As you know, we're kind of in the initial throes of this, and a number of businesses are being affected, and I think more will be affected. Printers, and, you know, there's all kinds of businesses that you wouldn't necessarily think would be deeply impacted, but they are being impacted.
Brian, I know that one of the things you've probably seen, I talked about it yesterday over the weekend, what Governor Lamont did was to emphasize that I guess for some businesses through the SBA, the Small Business Administration, I guess they're making very low interest loans available once we get through this. I believe the upper ceiling on these, Brian, is about $2 million, which, you know, if they can get that loan, if these businesses can get that loan, I'm guessing that's going to be a big help for them reopening their doors full speed in a few months.
Absolutely. And that's one of the many things that we've been keeping folks informed about is the loans through the SBA. And you're right, $2 million is the amount on that right now. My guess is that may become more robust as time moves on. There's been a lot of interest in the business community regarding those loans. Also, the Department of Economic and Community Development has some programs as well. Actually, we will be on a call with the governor and the Department of Economic and Community Development tomorrow. They'll be speaking with business leaders and businesses in general to talk about how they can best respond to this and best serve the business community.
Yeah, and Brian, you know, we go back to a few minutes ago when we mentioned the restaurants, big and small in the area. Boy, I guess the figure, you may have seen the same figure I did, 160,000 waiters, waitresses, bartenders, busboys, counter attendants. You know, they may be looking at a somewhat of a lengthy furlough in this, and that's a, you know, in a state of 3.5 million people, that's a pretty significant chunk of people that unfortunately will not be getting a paycheck.
Very much so. And of course, you know, the unemployment claims have risen significantly, and I think that's going to continue to increase. And again, not just the restaurant businesses, but a lot of businesses out there are struggling right now as to how to maintain their staff as they go forward. So we're keeping people informed about that as well through the Connecticut Department of Labor and some other resources. I think that's the human side of this. I mean, there's a lot of human sides of this, but what's happening to all these workers is very unfortunate and very sad.
And in your particular purvey of the Greater Norwalk Chamber of Commerce, what's the mix, Brian, would you say? I mean, obviously it's a big, small firm mix, but is there any one particular area, maybe besides the restaurant industry that you and I can agree on, but any one particular area or facet of the economy and the purvey of your members that is getting hit especially hard, do you think?
I think there's quite a few. Norwalk is blessed to have a great variety of industry here, but one that I've heard from a number of people is the hotels and the conference centers and whatnot. As you know, all events are being canceled. People are not traveling and whatnot. So the hotels are really feeling it right now, and we have quite a few of them here in Norwalk.
And Brian, finally, you know, I was talking about this with some people in the in the building here over the past couple of days. You know, as bad as 9/11 was, and we all know how bad that was, and as bad as some things in history were, you know, Pearl Harbor and other things, we've never seen, Brian, an event like this that literally, let's say this goes 3 months, is going to almost completely shut the economy off for the better part of a quarter of the year. I mean, that's going to really leave a significant hole, not just on the nationwide angle of things, but right down to some of the businesses that you service and represent in southwestern Connecticut.
The scale of this, I would agree with you, is enormous. And unlike a lot of the other things that you mentioned, this is global, right? We're being affected as a planet by this. All countries are going through this. There's a great amount of uncertainty. I think that's one of the things that is especially troubling. And we know that uncertainty is very bad for financial markets, but not great for us as people either. I think a lot of people right now, they just don't know what to do. They don't know how long this is going to last. But that's why it's important, I think, for all of us to support each other, I know we're going to be doing our best, again, to keeping our community informed, to support them, but also as we go forward to advocate for them. We need to make sure that we have a very strong recovery from this.
The website, NorwalkChamberOfCommerce.com. Spell it all out, run it all together, Norwalk Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber President, Brian Griffin, has been the guest. Brian, thank you. We appreciate it, and we'll be in touch. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Brian Griffin, the Chamber President of the Norwalk, the Greater Norwalk, as we should mention, Chamber of Commerce.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.